and welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast, episode number 79, and we're brought to you by the Brainstorm Brewery. My name is Angelo, and I am your host, and I'm back this week, as every week, with that brother from the Ryan.
What up?
What's going on, Rye?
Oh, man, not shit. Excited to see what kind of shakeup M15 is giving us here.
If any.
Some constructed magic. Yeah, spoiler alert.
There were some things earlier on. I think it just needs hashed out a little more. You know, it's week one.
Yeah.
Let people, you know, fine tune some of the things that was beginning to work earlier, but, you know, just couldn't make it far enough. And I think we're going to have a few things at least.
Yeah.
At least with Nisa.
Spoiler. Oh yeah. She's like fucking 50, 60 bucks right now, I think.
Yeah. When she was doing good real early in the day, people were going crazy fucking buying them. So there was a huge spike.
Huh.
Oh, well. But let's get started with the standard, bro, where fucking Mr. Lloyd Kurth went up against Ross Merriam, and Lloyd Kurth wins 2-1. Dan Jessup versus Jeremy Bowman. Jeremy Bowman loses to Dan Jessup 2-0. Jonathan Morawski 2-1 over Stephen Reed or Stefan Reed. I don't know where you're from, so. Andrew Boswell versus Dylan Donegal or Donegan? Eh. Boswell wins 2-1. Boswell 2-1 over Morawski. Jessup 2-1 over Kurth. And Jessup wins the whole damn thing, 2-0. And Ryan, I know you're going to tell me he was playing some crazy-ass new deck, right?
No, not at all. But the top 8 win as expected. Mono Black took it down.
Yay.
So we had Dan Jessup in first with the Mono Black Devotion. And, I mean, we do have a couple of changes.
A couple. The second place deck, I was rooting for, man. I'm sitting there just like, come on, man, get there.
Yeah, that would have been nice, but yeah, I mean, the Urborg, you called it, you said these decks would be running one of, and they were all running one of.
Well, yeah, it's an obvious thing. You just put it in there, it gives your Mutavaults just a little bit extra reach.
And as I'll get to in a minute, I think this card is awesome in the black-white mid-range.
I'll agree.
Smoothing things out. But yeah, and a couple of Sign and Blood. So cut down on Underworld Connections, went to 3, and added 2 Sign and Blood. Seems to be out the only, like, real development. I mean, the spell package is a bit... I mean, everyone's got their differences. This guy's only running 2 Devour Flesh instead of the 3 or 4, and he went with a full 3 Bioblight.
And a full package of Downfall.
Yeah, and the full 4 there. And the lands, like we've been saying, fucking 25, like it should be, not fucking 26, it's 25, and it worked.
It's funny, you bring up the Sign and Blood. I actually think that is a byproduct of Urborg. Because it really makes Sign and Blood on turn 2 a lot more possible.
Same with Bioblight, which he's been 3 of 2. Yeah, I mean, and it's, I like the card. It's a good way to finish an opponent off also.
Yeah.
I don't really see anything in the sideboard new. One Liliana Vess, and that's about it. That was to be expected. We figured that they'd cut out from 2 Erebos to 1 and add a Liliana. That's not no shock there.
Right. Well, the deck that the Magic World was rooting for was green, white aggro.
Yeah, myself included, Silesnia, man.
Yeah, I saw a couple of plays that I thought were misplays. And, I mean, I don't play it all the time, so I don't know, but the announcers kind of agreed with me. Like, there was one time he played a Lion when he had a Voice of Resurgence against Mono Black, and I'm like, why aren't you playing the Voice of Resurgence?
Sure.
On turn 2, you know what I mean? I'm just like, I don't know about that.
Sure, yeah.
But his deck, there's a little bit of a difference in this deck now. We have the 4 Experiment 1, the 4 Fleece Mainline, the 4 Loxodon Smiter, which we're used to. We have 3 Soldier to Pantheon, so that's okay. Well, instead of our Mana Dorks, we have 2 Sunblade Elves. And Sunblade Elf is a 1-1 for a green, but he gets +1/+1 as long as you control planes. And for a white and 4 creatures you control, get +1/+1 until the end of turn. This is
one of my favorite cards from M15.
I mean, it's clearly in this deck better than the fake Llanowar Elf, whatever they call that thing nowadays.
Elvish Mystic.
Yeah. It's always going to be Llanowar Elf to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Llanowar Elf, yeah, for sure. I like the Sunblade Elf. I mean, a 2-2 for 1, generally, with this deck. And
yeah, when you actually go to attack with it, it's a 2-2.
And that 5-mana pump ability is, I mean, it's not great, but... I mean, it's an ability attached to a creature that you gotta look out for. I mean,
it's a mana sink late in the game, you know? Yeah. Like, if somebody has 5 or 6 mana up on turn 7 or 8 and they swing with everything, like, you have to take it into consideration.
Yeah.
It also helps a deck that, you know, short of the Smiter, is a lot of small cards. It really lets them trade up.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, just agree with me.
No, I am. Absolutely, yeah.
So we have three Boonsayer as well with the four voice. Three Ajani Caller of the Pride, so they're still staying with small Ajani.
As they should in this list.
I think that's right for this
list. As they should. The four mana one, the new one just doesn't really have the punch that this one does. And, the five mana one's just, this deck doesn't want it.
That so. Flying and double strike, it's just, it ends games.
Oh, oh yeah, I mean, a flying Loxodon, you gotta fucking toss an elephant at him, it's pretty good.
Yeah, really. So we had two Banishing Light, three Advent of the Worm in the main, and four Selesnya Charm.
Yeah.
Lands are, see, still got the four mana confluence, Ryan. Is that still right?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
You have to cast all your one drops. You have to be able to, and all your two drop plays. I mean, your Selesnya Charm, your Fleece Mane Lion, Voice of Resurgence. If you plan on casting a two, you know, playing something on turn two.
Right. Is the two Mutavault right?
I don't play Mutavolt in my, green white aggro, but,
it has a purpose, I suppose.
I don't know. I prefer just, you know, playing Ajani's presence in the main board or even in the side and just giving me that game against, Supreme Verdict and removal anyways. There's other cards this deck can play. The only reason the Mutavolt's in there is for his like Supreme Verdict, you know, control matchups. I just right. don't think, I think he's got better answers for it. I mean, he's already playing Boonsayer, which is really good against control. Advent of the Worm is really good.
And so is Voice of Resurgence.
And so is Voice, yeah. So he doesn't really need,
presence as much. He got a sideboard that consists of two Archangels, a Miscutter Hydra, four Skylasher, one more Advent of the Worm, two Gods Willing, a Setessan Tactics, which I kind of like this.
Yeah, I like Setessan Tactics much better in the mono green devotion deck where you can just strive for a ton.
Right.
This isn't bad. And its strive cost is, you know, relatively, you know, it's a force. It's as low as it can get, so.
Yeah, it's very low. So we have two Ajani Steadfast, so he can change up. And the funny thing is, like, I've already heard stories, Kyle Broderick, he won a game, Michael Broderick, he won a game after somebody ultimated this Ajani.
Huh.
And what the ultimate is if you get an emblem with, if a sorcerer deal damage to you or a planeswalker you control, prevent all but one of that damage.
Yeah, it's an underwhelming ultimate though.
But the plus one's good.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely there for aggro, but again, I don't know why for aggro you just wouldn't bring in, he doesn't run Unflinching Courage. I don't know why you wouldn't just run Unflinching Courage. So the only reason I see this in here is for that lifelink.
Right. And then, two Hunt the Hunters, and that is the sideboard. He won a lot of games he wasn't supposed to throughout the day. And this was the deck that everyone was just like, come on, man. Come on, Boswell. Win, win, win. We don't want to see Mono Black. Cause like, he beat Mono Black in the, semis.
Yeah.
And lost to it in the finals. Aww. Lloyd Carth. He was running the black white mid range, which you said you wanted to talk about this deck. Well, especially Urborg.
This is what I run. I gotta pick up some Urborgs clearly. I think it's really good in this deck. I mean, it's obviously good in mono black, but I think it's better here just because it's, you know, this is a two color deck.
It's really good. And this is something that's underlooked by people who didn't play back in the day with Urborg, but like it makes his 4Ks of Koilos not hurt him to tap for black mana. So it becomes like tap for black for free, pay one life for white.
Yeah.
And on top of the four Mutavaults, which also now can tap for black, like it really smooths that out a lot.
Yeah, I think it's much better in this black-white deck. I like this list a lot. This is almost the exact same list I'm running. Very, very close.
Okay.
Nothing too spicy or new. I'm trying to see if he's running anything real exciting here. It doesn't really seem
Not
like
Not really. So. I mean, it's Obsidat main board, Blood Baron in the side, which, you know, that bounces back and forth depending on the meta.
Yeah, we've seen that
yeah.
as of late. So two Sin Collectors I like, with the split with two Duress. Yeah, pretty sweet. I'm surprised he wasn't able to take it down. I think it's like on paper in this top eight, I think it has the edge against all the other decks, but.
Yeah, you would think so on paper. If he would have, I actually think if he would have had the Obsidat switched, he probably would have. you know, or at least made it to the finals. Sure. So we have, Mono Black Devotion in fourth, Mono Black Devotion in sixth. So there's, three Mono Blacks in the, top eight. And then we have two Mono Blues to go seventh and eighth, but in fifth we have Niagara.
Yeah, this is a sweet, pretty, this is what I expected in the top eight this week. This is what I expected more of in the top 16. It just didn't happen. Like, I knew people would fall back on the, you know, Mono Black and Mono Blue stuff, but, you know, it's just the first week of a new format, like.
This is the only time for Slaughterhorn you see in a deck.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I just saw that earlier. It was like, what the fuck?
Dude, it's happened before and it was like very early on. You know, it was like, what the fuck? Okay. But the deck is four Boros Reckoner, four Burning Tree, four Experiments, four Firedrinker Satyr, four Goreclan Rampager, four Gorehouse Chainwalker, four Rakdos Cackler, and four Slaughterhorn. Keep in mind, Slaughterhorn and Rampager are not spells.
Yeah, you blood rush those.
You just blood rush those. Four Chain to the Rocks, four Boros Charm. He's got four Mountain, four Mana Confluence, four Sacred Foundry, four Stomping Ground, four Temple Garden. My man is not fucking around. He goes 20 lands, let's rock.
Yeah, Mana Confluence, I want to say, is really at home this deck.
I suppose.
I mean, I don't know, it's Naya, it's super fast,
I probably take it out. No, okay, say I build this deck, we have that red-white land now, I probably run that over Mana Confluence. I'm sorry, I cannot think of the name of it, but the red-white Painland, Painland.
I'd rather run that over the four mountains.
Okay, I can see that as well. Again, I definitely have that in there.
Very mana, this deck's very mana sensitive in the early turns.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, the Mana Confluence, the one thing it does do is turn on, the Blood Rush of Rampager. Huh. You know, cause that's the only he does have Stomping Ground as well, which kind of does the same thing. So, I don't know. I wonder though why the red white Painland ain't in here.
Yeah.
He probably just doesn't own them yet.
Yeah, that's probably.
They're only like $3 though. Like if you can pay for the tournament, you can pay an extra 12 for fucking the four lands.
I've opened, three Caves of Koilos already and I pre-ordered all the lands. So those are just extras.
Sweet. I think I still have my four. I should have my four of those and my four, green black ones because I never took apart my old Doran deck. And it had those in there. So, Somewhere in my house, I have them. Sideboard of four
destroyers. Yeah. This guy, Stephen Reed, your sideboard, man. This is the kind of sideboard I like.
This is very to the point. Four Destructive Revelry, four Gruul Charm. That's going to be used most of the time to be brought in against another ground match. So he can use the creatures without flying can't block this turn. And it just gives him almost like one free attack with everything.
Well, also, dude, Gruul Charm, I know a few months back, MTGO, it was tech that people were bringing in against the mono blue decks. I mean, it deals with all the flyers.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's rare that, I mean, well, it's not really rare, but Cloudfin doesn't usually get bigger than a 3-butt on him. I mean, and then the Nightvale Spectre and Judge's Familiar, this just kills all of them.
It does. It absolutely does. I can see it in both. It's never used for gain control of all permanents you own, right?
No, but even that could be good against Mono Blue because they play Domestication. And
right. Three Hammer Perforos and four Mizzium Mortars, and that is the Naya deck. We didn't really talk about too many cards that are new. Let's see, we have Mono Green rocking ninth place, and this had three chords, so that was good to see.
I lost to this deck.
It had a Reclamation Sage, which, you know, I told you these would get played.
Oh yeah.
And that's a Hornet Queen.
I was looking at the other guy's sideboard, we just went over the four Destructive Revelries. I'm curious as to why that wasn't like four back to natures. I mean, I guess.
Two damage,
sure. Yeah. This deck, I got my ass handed to me Friday. Playing like this exact list. Hornet Queen is insane.
Yep. I've gotten to play with Hornet Queen. Like if you stick it, you win.
Hard as nuts. Dude was dropping it like turn five.
Yes, because of Misa.
And, Pelucranos, he hit me like he monsters Pelucranos for like 36 or something. It was insane.
Hey, you know what? I have a question. This list has two Garrick and two Nissa. Do you see Garrick falling out and it just becoming four Nissa before rotation even?
No, because Garrick is so combo-y in this deck.
Okay. So is Nissa, though.
Yeah, she is, too. Like, I actually lost game three to her ultimate. I needed a Mizzium Order off the top to win. That was my one chance after the ultimate. I could deal four to everything, and I drew a fucking Voyaging Satyr.
Yeah. I do have one question that I don't understand about this deck at all. There is no need for one Dark Steel Citadel in this deck if I'm looking correctly. Like, no need whatsoever.
It's just from Nissa. You get a 4/4 in this
deck. Okay, alright, I suppose.
That's silly. That's stupid.
Yeah, sideboard, he has a Phyrexian Revoker, which we all knew that was just gonna find its way into sideboards. He has a Soul of New Phyrexia.
Yep.
Another Arbor Colossus, 4 Mistcutter Hydra, 3 Disciple of Nymbia, or Nymbia's Disciple, I'm sorry. Another Reclamation Sage, 2 Cetessan Taxus, and a Time to Feed. I like this.
Yep.
Very straight, to the point, not really, really, really expensive. That's nice. Esper Control of Teth Mono.
Real quick, Genesis Hydra is the truth.
Yeah, I've not gotten to play with it. I've cracked a few of them.
It's the truth, man. It's like, you remember how busted Cascade, I didn't get to play during Cascade, but I've heard the stories.
Yes.
And that's all it is. It's fucking cascading into a huge, fat fucking creature.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
It's pretty sweet, so. Yeah.
Okay, mono blue in 11th, shunned in 12th, red white burn in 13th, black white mid range in 14th, mono black aggro in 15th, and mono black devotion in 16th. And I don't care about anything beyond 16th. What about you? Didn't think so.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so that was that. This week, however, they started the modern events as well.
Yep.
And although they don't give us brackets on how things broke down, they definitely give us some deck lists. And the first week of Modern, at their events, guess what wins? Pod! Bandit. So Malira Pod wins. If you need to know how to run this at this point, you're not playing this game right.
Well, I wouldn't say that. It takes a long time to master
how
to
play. Yeah, but I mean, if you don't know how the deck works.
You don't know how it works, yeah.
I mean, it's... To actually run the deck correctly, it's very skill intensive. I'll always give that to people.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to hit this top eight? This is pretty sweet.
I want to go over what's in here. Like, I mean, I do like this, the adding of Eidolon of Blossoms into the sideboard of the, pod deck. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, when you need to draw a card and get a critter, you got that down. A new Reclamation Sage would find its way in here. That's not a shocker at all. So interesting. And I mean, birthing pod.
I mean, is Reclamation Sage really better than, the Kasali Pride Mage?
Yep.
Sure. I mean, it's just 3 mana.
Yep. At 2, you're already running voice, or he is already running voice. It gives you options, you know, to like run Wall of Roots. Malir, of course, is at 2.
Yeah, so. If I'm potting into that at 3 though, I'm probably pretty upset.
What if you're potting into
Reclamation Sage and not like a combo piece?
Depends. It depends completely what's on the other side of the board.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course, but it's just you're never going to be as happy as you should be.
Yeah, I mean, it frees up your twos a little bit in my eyes, and it just puts it in the three spot, which is usually a little lighter in these decks than the two spots. So, yeah, I'm fine with it. Call me crazy. Okay. Makes sense to me. I don't know if it does to you. I don't play enough auto. Affinity in 2nd. Anything new in Affinity? No. Damn it.
Ornithopter? Just kidding.
That's not new. It is the blue version of Affinity. I should point that out. Like, he's running the Master of Ethereum in the Thoughtcast. Not all the artifact decks do that. So, it's worth saying. We had 4 color birthing pod, which basically is birthing pod without it's Malira pod without Malira. Okay, tops out about Archangel.
It's still running. Is this Kiki Jiki? I'm not seeing one.
I am not seeing a Kiki Jiki. I am seeing a Kataki. I am seeing an Eidolon of Ooh.
Is this just like a beatdown? This just seems like a beatdown deck.
Yeah, pretty much.
It does have a Spike Feeder Archangel Lathune. So I guess
it does have that combo in it. Infect in 4th, because that's awesome. Rugged Twin in 5th. Because it's twin.
Oh, fuck.
Junk mid-range in 6th. Jund in 7th.
And 5th place, by the way, should be called Tarmo Twin.
Should it be?
I mean, that's what it's... That's what,
where everywhere else calls it, but now no one will because SCG calls it something different.
Yeah, it's fucking Tarmo Twin.
Got it. Yeah, actually, Rug Twin is Tarmo Twin. That's why you had the green. So we had Junk mid-range in 6th. 7th was Jund. I don't know which one I like better, whether I like Junk or Jund.
Junk mid-range in 6, is that what you said?
Junk in 6, yes.
Oh, nice.
Jund in 7. Oh, I don't know which one I like better, because like, one gives you access to like Lingering Souls and Path.
Which are sweet cards.
And the other one gives you access to like Lightning Bolt and, you know, other good red things.
sweet cards.
Yeah, so I don't know which one I actually like better.
Jund is obviously the preferred deck. Jund is the one everyone goes with. But yeah, it's cool to see junk, man. You should go over this. This is sweet.
So the junk list is 4 Dark Confidant, 3 Scavenging Ooze, 4 Tarmogoyf. Pretty much what you'd see even in the Jund list. 4 Liliana of the Veil, 4 Abrupt Decay, 2 Dismember, 1 Golgari Charm, 2 Path to Exile, 3 Inquisition of Kozilek, 3 Lingering Souls, 1 Maelstrom Pulse, 4 Thoughtseize. So like main board, there really isn't too much different between junk and Jund. Just legitimately, that is the truth. Sideboard, however, the options change a little bit because he has a Batterskull, Engineered Explosives, Graft Digger's Cage. These are things we're used to seeing. Spellskite, again. But he's also able to throw in 3 Aven Mind Sensors, a Hushwing Griff, and 2 Stony Silence, which is something Jund can't do.
Yes, and our... I mean, they're just really, really good cards against pod matchup. I mean, they're cards you want to play. Hushwing Griff, Aven Mind Sensor, and Stony Silent are all instant bring-ins in that matchup.
Right, right. Stony Silence is actually pretty good at the, Affinity match as well.
Affinity, I mean, yeah, it's good in a lot of matchups. Stony Silence is just a really good card in Modern.
It is. So we have 2 Thrun Lastrol and a Creeping Corrosion. That's how his deck rounds out. I'm a little disappointed in the mana base.
Why is that?
Call me crazy, but there is a card out there. It's called Murmuring Bosk. It taps for free for green. But if you need black or you need white, you go ahead and pay 1 life. Now, he can fit 1 forest in here. And I know people want forests, or they want some basics because of Path to Exile. I get that completely.
Path and Blood Moon.
Right, but... Yeah, I just like Bosk. I feel like it should be in this goddamn deck. And I've not seen him in these decks yet, and it's kind of disappointing. Because it is a forest. It can be fetched.
Yeah, I'm wondering why, you know, why not 1 Swamp, 1 Bosk?
Yeah, I'd even go that. 1 Swamp, 1 Bosk, yeah. I think that would work just fine. It just, I don't know. I might even go 3 Tech Edge and add a Bosk.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's me. I would definitely have Murmuring Bosk in there. So if you are running, junk, people have forgotten about this card apparently. So remind them, or if you're running it yourself, just put it in there.
Seems really good. This deck looks sweet, man. I'm glad to see a junk list in the top.
Dude, it's really not different from, Jund. Like, Jund, is basically the same deck except for they have Horser, which I don't understand why that actually isn't in the junk list. And it's like a Lightning Bolt, and Terminate are the red that he's going for. Then, like, you know, what removal you choose in Modern is what removal you choose in Modern. You know what I mean? Let's see.
We did see for a while people splashing Lingering Souls in Jund, and this, I mean.
Yeah, it was 4-color Jund, which is just not Jund, by the way. Yeah, I should point that out.
Should just run, you might as well, if you're gonna splash for Lingering Souls, you might as well splash for Path to Exile also, and, you know.
Well, yeah, just make it a junk list.
Yeah, and the sideboard cards that White gives you access to.
Because as much as I do like, Lightning Bolt, I will say Path to Exile is better than it.
Yeah.
And you really don't get too many chances to disagree with me on that, because I'm typically right on that.
The thing is, though, Lightning Bolt will, you know, can deal damage to someone's face. It can end a game.
Yes, but when you absolutely need to kill something. I mean, the chance for that Lightning Bolt to actually be the reason you won for that last 3 life, I don't think happens nearly as often as you need to kill something now.
Sure, but I mean, in this format, like, Lightning Strike kills most things right up off the bat anyways.
Lightning Bolt?
Lightning Bolt, I'm sorry.
Lightning Bolt is better than Lightning
Strike.
Yes,
I know. Yeah. I'm new age. Bolt, I mean, already does so much, like...
It does, it kills most of the things straight up.
Time, like, people draw a Lightning Bolt, Snapcaster, Lightning Bolt, like...
Yeah, but how many times later in a game have you seen a Tarmogoyf on the board and the dude sitting on a Lightning Bolt? And he looks at the Tarmogoyf, he looks at his Lightning Bolt, and looks at the Tarmogoyf, and looks at his Lightning Bolt. And then a sad face goes over him.
Yeah.
As he loses to said Tarmogoyf.
I mean, they're both very, very good. It's hard for me to say one is better than the other.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say the one is better than the other, cause it's like Swords of Plowshares, and Swords was good, so.
Very
good. You don't have to agree with me. I feel I'm right on this. I don't care.
I got you.
Green Red Tron, in 10th, that's a little interesting. It is a Tron deck, I guess, but it's got like old artifact combos in it. He's like running the Sundering Titan, you know?
Why not? Sundering Titan's good. Why not?
Oh, yeah. You get to destroy lots of lands in this format when a Sundering Titan comes into play.
I like the 15 place Green White Hate Bears list, very much. Very, very much.
Yeah, that's a cool list. Chris Stepp was running this. It's Hate Bears. You want to go over it?
Sure. Very similar to Death and Taxes. So this is right up my alley. This is a little more aggressive here. He's going 3 Aven Mind Censors, 4 Blade Splicers, 1 Eternal Witness. Okay. Pretty sweet. 3 Flicker Wisp. 4 Leon and Arbiter. Okay. Good luck, Fetchlands. 4 Noble Hierarch. 1 Reclamation Sage.
It's not just Fetchlands, bro.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of things.
It hurts Quad a little bit, too.
Yeah, very much so. Very, very much so.
Pay 5. Damn.
That in combo with Aven Mind Censor is just, it's lulz all day.
Yeah, it is.
Noble Hierarch, Rex Sage, Resto Angel, the Ooze, 3 Oozes, I'm sorry, 4 Angels, 3 Oozes, 1 Bromaz, King of Craigwesco, and 2 Linvala, Keeper of Silence. Pretty sweet, yeah.
I like the 4 Ghost Warder over the... Tech Edge. He is running 2 Tech Edge as well, but I like Ghost Quarter in this format a little better.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I just think there's so many people.
Because it doesn't, A, you could pop this off way earlier, especially if you got an Aether Vial on board, like in your lands, like you're comfortable blowing up a Ghost Quarter.
Yeah.
And if in combination with Leon and Arbiter and Aven Mind Sensor, like Ghost Quarters, it says Wasteland.
Well, especially in this format where most people only run maybe 2 or 3 basics, and you're running your full package of like paths on top of it with this deck. So at some point, they're just not going to be able to get lands for those cards.
The great thing about this deck, though, is exactly that, is that Ghost Quarter is, for all intents and purposes, it's Wasteland, and Path is practically Swords.
It's better than Swords to Plowshares once they run out of lands.
Yeah, well, I mean, or...
they don't gain life.
You get an Arbiter on board, turn 2... You know, you could
you could start playing the Ghost Quarter Path Exile game.
So, I do all the time with my Death and Taxes list. Like, I love turn 2 Arbiter. It's very, very good against a lot of decks, especially if, you know, you got Plains Ghost Quarter. You know, they got to think about making a play, you know, if they even want to tap their land or not on turn 2. Cause you're just going to blow the shit up.
Dude, this sideboard is amazing.
Yeah, I like this sideboard.
There's a Kamigawa card in here that I'm just excited to see.
So, real quick, 4 Aether Vials, 4 Paths. The sideboard, he's got 2 Crucible Worlds.
Because of the 4 Ghost Quarter and the Wasteland thing that you're talking about.
Very sweet. I never thought about that card in Modern.
Oh, yeah, dude. 4 Crucibles, 4 Ghost Quarters. That's sick.
Maybe I had to look into that for my D&T list. I don't know if I have room for it in the board, but maybe 1. 2
for the matchups that it's good, it's well worth it.
Cause I run 4 Ghost Quarters and 4 Tech Edges.
Oh, then see, yeah, it'd be, and you're running probably 4 Paths too, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, you know what, for the matchups it's good in, it's going to be real good as like a 1 or 2 of, I would find room in the side.
Oh yeah, against Control, this is a house. 2 BFTs. I'm on the fence about
best
this card.
Fucking tech.
I ran it and I changed it out. I'm trying Core Firewalker now.
Dude, Firewalker is not as good as BFT.
Oh, I mean,
I've been through both of them historically. I've played with both of them, and BFT is still better to me.
Yeah, I just like that lifelink. Bro, you know, I don't know. I'm a big fan of the Firewalker. I'm going to try.
Like FK thinks, man.
I'm going to try it. I'm going to try him out. If I go back to BFT, I'll put my foot in my mouth. 2 Kitchen Finks, 1 more Rex Sage, 1 Stone Cloaker. I love that card. No one plays Stone Cloaker.
Oh yeah. I enjoy some Stone Cloaker too.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet. I've been known to run a 1 of, 2 Choke. Cause choke is just nasty.
Yep.
A ghostly prison.
That is insane, dude. I love that this card's being run.
Yeah.
You have no clue how happy I am to see ghostly prison in here.
I've thought about building a ghostly prison deck just to be funny. I love that card. 2 Stony Silence and 2 Eidolon of Rhetoric. Mm-hmm. That's a new one. Huh.
Well, I mean, it's your, it is true hate. There's no question about it. It essentially is your, oh, fuck, I forget the name of the card. Rule of Law.
Who, the Eidolon?
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of...
It just replaces Rule of Law, which you saw in a few lists here and there, and
well,
that's fine.
Sworn Canonist.
Yeah, their Sworn Canonist was what a lot of things got replaced with.
That's what I run, and I guess that's probably what I would cut for this, but...
Well, this is a little better because of Affinity.
Yeah, sure.
You can bring it in against Affinity where you couldn't bring in the, Canonist.
Like, I don't really ever see Affinity at my shop. It's like, there's like one guy there that plays Affinity.
That guy.
That guy. So, and I don't know. The Canonist has been very, very good to me.
No. I mean, in most matchups, Canonist is absolutely amazing, but like, I can see the reasoning to switch to Eidolon of Red.
Oh, yeah. And I like the blood on this. This is a 1/4.
Yes, it is.
Stated. That's pretty good against a lot of things. I mean,
it sticks around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
So, I mean, that's a cool deck. That is the opposite of what Ryan's running that everyone says, well, you know. The funny thing about this deck, and you can call me crazy, but no Teague.
What do you mean?
It's Hate Bears, right?
Oh, yeah. No Gaddock Teague?
No Teague. Not even in the sideboard. No Teague.
Maybe he just doesn't have it.
Like, I mean, that's like one of the reasons Hate Bears was created was because of Gaddock Teague. Okay, so Legacy. Dustin Shills versus Dylan Donegan. Shills wins 2-0. Spencer Argenna versus Jesse Crowley. Argenna wins 2-0. Stephen Mann, hey, I've heard of him, versus Andrew Boswell. Andrew Boswell wins 2-1. So he top-aided the modern or the standard and the Legacy.
Yeah.
Kurth, 2-1 over Josh Rhodes.
He also four of these players top-aided, standard.
Sweet.
Three or four of them did.
So Lloyd Kurth, breaks Boswell's heart. He does not get to go back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. And Dustin Shills beats Spencer Argenna. Yeah. And Lloyd Kurth wins the whole damn thing for Legacy. And I'm really open to see cool decks here, but I'm guessing I won't. What the hell?
Yeah, Kurth.
Really?
Shout out Lloyd Kurth. Very good weekend. Third place in standard and took down the Legacy portion. Yeah, good weekend for you. Boswell, good weekend. Man, good weekend. Yeah, just a good weekend for you guys.
Kurth wins with Shardless Bug.
Yeah, kind of, unexpected.
It does okay once in a while. He does have the Toxic Delusion main, which normally that was in the side. That's interesting.
He also had, the fortune of his show and tell player misplaying, and I believe it was the semifinals.
Well, that'll help.
Yeah, Boswell, he was staring down a fuck.
A fuck? Damn.
No, Boswell was staring down a Deathrite Shaman, and a Tarmogoyf, and he snuck in he had a Grizzlebrand and a Emrakul in his hand, and he was at like, I don't know, 7th life or something. Either way, I don't know. I'm bad at explaining Legacy, but he fucked up and put in the Emrakul and couldn't even attack with it because Kurth had like 7 lands in play. He just would attack the lands and kept his Goyf and Deathrite Shaman on board.
Mm-hmm.
And Boswell, instead of bringing in Grizzlebrand, you know, and able to get lifelink off of blocking the Goyf, yeah, he just messed it up. So
it happens. We had Jund in second, which is basically modern Jund. You add Dark Confidant, you add Punishing Fire, you add him to Turak, and then you play. I mean, there's some land differences too, but realistically, that's what the deck is. Am I right, Ryan? sideboard, Grafdigger's Cage, Phyrexian Revoker, 2 Engineered Plague, 2 Ancient Grudge, a Golgari Charm, a Pyroblast, 2 Surgical Extraction, a Jitte, 3 Duress, and a Maelstrom Pulse. Yep, that's Legacy Jund.
I love seeing Legacy Jund at top tables.
I don't. It has Cascade in it. I mean, it's not as broken in Legacy as it was like when it was in Standard, but I'm against Cascade just from the giddy up.
I don't know. What's more broken than cascading into Ancestral?
Exactly.
That's pretty fucking broken.
Exactly. I mean, like, this is, yeah, I just don't like Cascade. Deathblade in third. So sweet. I mean, I'm guessing this is the Esper version. Yes, it is.
Yeah, this is our only true name Nemesis sighting in the top 8.
Right, but he has 3 of them in there.
Yeah, he did.
So that counts.
Yeah.
I got 2 of them fuckers now.
There you go, sweet.
Yeah, I'm gonna be, I might be building me some Legacy, Delver here, and I'm gonna be playing with those.
Nice.
Sneak and show, as Ryan said earlier in 4th. Rug Delver, Bug Delver, Rug Delver, Rug Delver.
Yeah, this was, Delver all over the fucking face of this top 8.
Yep, so, I mean, that was our, SCGB more. recap there, and hope you enjoyed it and stuff. And now we are going to move on to the next segment of our show.
That was a terrible fucking segue.
Shut up. I thought it sounded so fucking like Sesame Street-ish that I thought it was going to go off pretty good, but then you had to go and fuck it up. It did kind of sound Sesame Street-ish.
I am upset that we did not get the shake-up we were hoping for.
Yet. Give it a couple weeks.
I was hoping to see Generator Servant in the top eight, but...
I'm really hoping to just see me some Scuttle of Doom Engines. I mean, as long as there's Elspeth, I think Doom Engine should be in Cyborgs. It's going to happen.
Good.
Something Onar would be very, very, very happy about.
Yeah, what is this?
This is actually almost a direct result of Onar's work and the people on the Facebook group that it's a secret group, but everyone knows it exists. I'm actually a member of it. And what these people do is they sit on their computer and they find counterfeiters and people who rip people off. And like if your cards get stolen or something and these people hear about it, they will track the interwebs if these people were trying to sell your cards. They find this shit. And then they report them to the proper authorities. Well, they was never really allowed to respond to the group directly. Wizards wasn't because, of course, there's a legal thing going on. So you're not really allowed to say anything. Well, late last year, this group, but it says players on here, started reporting pockets of counterfeit magic cards. And this group, they tracked down who it was. And they sent straight up names to these people. And Wizards has actually been able to get quite a few of them shut down, so they will no longer be making them. There's still another really big one out there that needs taken down, and that's what they're working on next.
Woman or something, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Actually selling like entire cubes or something.
That she is. She is next. So
just insane.
That name is like Lynn or something. I forget her name.
Jen, I think.
Something like that. She is the next one on the list and they're after her. And at this point, they're going to get her, but they was able to really stop a lot of stuff. And if for some reason, you have anything, and they put this right in here. If you hear of anybody who's selling, second market, even counterfeit cards, you can get a hold of investigations@wizards.com. And that is how you let them know so they can launch an investigation into that person and put an end to it. Cause counterfeit's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, I have my deal with proxies. You know, there is a fine line between a proxy and a counterfeit. Cause a lot of these people who do counterfeits, they call them proxies. You know what I mean? But they're exact copies of the card, right?
Yeah.
So they're not really proxies. They are counterfeits.
Proxies.
If you have different art on it,
proxies
I'm a little bit cool.
Aid with a malicious intent. Like there's guys out there like proxy guys, shout out to him, that are doing good things and like, you know, they're blatantly stating on their cards, these aren't things for sale.
Yeah, Les Kershaw is somebody like that. Yeah,
go in their buddy's cubes, like their shit they give as gifts or whatever. They're not going out on eBay and like, buy this pimped out cube made with my proxies or anything. You know what I mean?
No, they're making no money off of what they do.
Yeah, and that's the difference. They're, you know, doing cool shit for their friends or whatever, making cubes look sweet, just, you know, giving people new art to look at on some of their favorite cards, you know, maybe making cards special for friends, that sort of thing.
Was you backing up there a second ago, Ryan?
What's that?
Was you backing up or something?
Oh, no. The counter timer just went off on the oven.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a truck or something backing up right outside your window. I'm like, what the hell? Beep, beep, beep. No, but there is a difference. Like, you know, like, and there is also a fine line, but most people can look at them and tell the difference immediately. You know, they're like, okay, that is a proxy. Okay, that is a counterfeit. And yeah, so Wizards is looking into it. I know people thought that they weren't doing nothing, but they actually was. So never fear. They are coming back. They are taking care of it.
So, well, yeah, I mean, these people, when you see a proxy, like no one looks at that and thinks of that, like, or can be duped into thinking that's a real card. Like it's clearly not the real thing. Like these counterfeits are, you know, they're trying to pass them off as actual Wizards of the Coast product.
Right. When you see like a Vexing Devil with Daredevil as the picture, like that's obviously a proxy, you know? Yeah. Like, it is completely different. It doesn't look like anything you've seen in Magic before. Like, Galactus is on a card or something. Yeah. It's like, so, yeah.
Before people start going after people online and these proxy guys and whatnot, like, no, you're talking about, like, these guys aren't out there, like, there's good and there's bad.
Right.
So.
And I know one of them, a real big one in it, is 1-8-6-6.
Yeah, 1-8-8-6, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The artist who made our logo, he does a lot of proxies. So,
6-6, yes. Who, whose sweet logo, speaking of that, just came in on a t-shirt we got the other week. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, I was gonna bring that up a little later.
Okay, so I'll
bring
shut
it back up then. but I do have a, little discussion that we need to get into here, bro.
What's that?
And this started on, I wanna say Twitter. And it spread to the fan page. And
no,
basically
you took it
is,
to the fan page.
I did. I put it to the fan page because I wanted to get some questions. I wanted to get some answers. And I wanted everybody in on it because there's a lot of people on that fan page who aren't on Twitter. Or if they might follow me and you, but they might not follow the third party in the conversation. So
sure. They
don't get the whole conversation. So we're going to hash this out right here, me and you, man.
Well, what? There's nothing to hash out. It's a you say potato, I say potato kind of thing. Like,
I suppose the question is, what is a rules lawyer? Because, okay, I mean, most people I know who say what a rules lawyer is, it's not somebody who, it's not an asshole. It's just somebody who just will hold you to every rule in the game. And, you know, lesser players get pissed off by that. And and they call them, oh, you're a fucking rules lawyer. You're the type of player that ruins the game. And it's like, no, I'm just playing by the fucking rules.
That's just playing by the rules and something you should be expected to do, especially at a high level tournament. Like, maintaining a board state is, you know, you could get a GRV for that and not following the rules can lead to you getting like, you know, game match, you know, losses. And, I'm with to me, a rules lawyer is the old, like, tab and sack definition of, like, someone who tries to, like, bend the rules in a way to, like, be scummy, to, like, gain some scumbag advantage, like.
But if you're bending the rules, how are you really being a lawyer? You know what I mean? That's why I don't understand that definition.
Well, because lawyers are scumbags. No offense, Martin.
Martin, he called you scumbag.
There's a car accident, and there's a pig that got hit in the road, and it's dead on the side of the road. And then
yeah, this show is going to conclude now because there's free bacon on Ryan's Highway. Good night, everybody.
There's a lawyer hit dead on the side of the road. What's the difference between the two accident scenes?
One's an animal and one's a human being.
Oh, well, aside from that, there's
one is food and one is not.
There's brake marks, there's skid marks before the pig.
Not in front of my vehicle. In front of my vehicle, there might be a skid mark. That's because I peeled out.
I guess that's your job. Yeah, that's your job. You know, you're into the roadkill.
Dude, you know what? I'm into pork.
There you go.
And I won't lie. I have ate roadkill before.
No, I'm just saying that.
But it was fresh. So, like, you know.
It's lawyering, though. It's like trying to be like, no, this is what I was doing. And like, this is no. And you went to this part. It's like, you know, like. Well, you missed your triggers, like it's not giving someone like a chance to like, I don't know, you know exactly what I mean by like.
No, I actually don't. Player. Like the type of person you're trying to explain, like somebody who says you missed your triggers, well like, say.
A good example on, I don't know if it was Twitter or Facebook, but someone gave a really good example of someone like, how you can manipulate certain things like, someone nodding to themselves, like they may be nodding the whole game and then you may have a moment where you take that nod and then twist it into something like them passing a phase or, priority or.
Yeah, but that player has the right to call a judge over and the judge can make a ruling.
And then then it's their word against yours. And I mean,
which is better than, you know, just going with what he said.
But, there's people that are scummy and try to take advantage of, you know, certain things in the rules to do scummy things, like, and that's a rules lawyer to me.
Okay, I will try and give you an example of, I've been called a rules lawyer a few times, okay? And the fact is, when I play this game, I play by the rules 100%, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Even to my own detriment, you know, a couple times.
Sure.
And I remember one PTQ I was at, and it was old extended. And I'm playing against a guy who's fairly well known, but I'll just keep his name to myself because he's still not happy with me because of it. And he was not happy with me that day either. But what ended up happening was he goes ahead, he plays a riffle.
Uh-huh.
And then he draw, you know, he plays through his turn. The next turn, he draws a card. Yo, sure. Man, Riftbolt was supposed to go off. Judge. You know what I mean? Judge came over, gave him a warning, you know, for missing triggers. And I caught the trigger. So the very next game against the same dude, he does it again. Judge. And he got DQ'd from the event. And, you know, he got kind of pissed at me. I got called a rules lawyer and everything else. But I'm like, dude, it's your card. You have to see that trigger.
I don't know if that would work with the current rules.
No. The thing is, like, as soon as he just goes and draws a card, yeah, at the time we were both responsible for keeping track of that, okay? So the second he goes and draws a card, it's too late. During the upkeep, you're supposed to do that. You know, you untap, okay, cool, and then you just go and draw a card. It's like, whoa, stop. That was supposed to go off. So I raise my hand. Judge comes over and he goes, no, he's absolutely right. That was supposed to go off. Now that thing goes to your graveyard. We're going to give you a warning, you know, and like I got called a rules lawyer for that. And I don't believe that I was doing anything wrong. And I guess if you're the other person, you can look at it and go, oh, he beat me on a technicality. Well, yeah, the technicality is called playing by the rules.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, like, I've had multiple occasions where I've been called a rules lawyer, like, you know, at an F&M, where yes, at a F&M, I do understand that it's supposed to be fun. The only thing is, people don't show up to F&M with fun decks. They show up to F&Ms with tier one decks. And, yes, if I'm playing somebody who obviously is new, I let them get away with stuff. I let them go back. I let them do things like that, because, you know what, they need to learn the game. But if you've been going to the same F&M for 6 months, and you tap your mana wrong, or I'm not going to let you retap it, you know, after this spell is resolved. Or if you say, well, I meant to do this, but I did this. Dude, you've been playing this game too long. I'm not going to purposely lose the game.
Yeah, after a spell is resolved and stuff, you've moved on to a new, like you're already past that. You can't go back.
And I mean, I've been to F&Ms where, you know, after everything's said and done, they're like, you just should let him go with that. It, you know, this is supposed to be fun. And I'm like, yeah, but how come when this happens to me, it never gets, you know, ruled this way? This dude's been playing the game for over a year. He should know the rules by now. It's not my problem if he doesn't. And, you know, I've been on the end where I've lost games, matches, and walked away with no prizes because somebody got a takesy-backsy. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being a rules lawyer in the sense that I've been called on. I guess I think there's a big difference between being an asshole and being a rules lawyer, because I've been called a rules lawyer so many times that I just figure a rules lawyer is someone like me.
I mean, maybe they got a different definition where you're at.
Maybe.
To me, it's someone who tries to maybe like exploit somebody's, you know, lesser knowledge of the game to their advantage, like to be scummy.
I guess my so only like thing this, is when people so say like, to be scummy, it's really in the perception of the other player.
It's easy now with the trigger rules to take advantage of things. You know, so I could, you know, someone could easily scum somebody by, you know, how they time, you know, oh, I gotta do this now. Well, you should, well, now with the rules, like, you know, certain like triggers can't be missed, like.
Yeah, I mean, here's a question for you. What would you consider this type of player? And, you know, and this, I'm taking this directly from an example of somebody I know. When you cast a spell, they will look right at you and go, when are you casting that in relation to the game?
Someone could ask that. It's their right to know the game state.
You know, like, you're going into attacks and you cast something.
But if it's clear you're going into, and it's like, you know what I'm doing, like, I don't know what you're trying to pull, like.
They'll ask everybody that. And like you said, in one look, you can look at it as, okay, you know what I'm doing. You understand this game. You know exactly what I'm doing.
Game four, yeah.
But you also can look at it as, like you said, he does have a right to have a clear board state in front of him. So he has the right to ask that question. But I've also seen this question confuse people and they answer it wrong. And he gets wins that way. Does that make him a rules lawyer in your route?
That guy's probably being a scumbag. Yes. He's probably being an asshole. That's what we call Todd Andersoning somebody. Tricking people into passing priority. We've seen people do this recently.
But literally that's all I ask.
Bard Nelson is one guy. there's people that try to manipulate things like, so yeah.
I mean, back in the day, that was considered a good thing. You Jedi mind trick somebody. I mean, people used to like flaunt that, man. Like, oh my god, he Jedi mind tricked that.
Oh, and the game was full of scumbags back in the day too. Mike Long.
Mike Long, dude, I keep seeing him pop up on people on Twitter's,
there's just
fucking Hall of Fame ballots. And I'm like, why the fuck did you put that dude in the Hall of Fame?
There were so many douchebags back in the day. So many cheaters. Justice was a big time cheater. Lots of them, man. I mean, that's how it was back in the day. I mean, people really back in the day, when the rules were so fucking, you know, crazy hard, difficult to understand, you know what I mean? There was probably a lot more of it. So I think they've cleaned up the rules quite a bit in recent years. So
okay, now
that's a problem.
I'm going to bring up the exact same player whose name I'm keeping to myself. The exact same player I've noticed does this a lot more when you fast play him. He is a very slow and deliberate player. I mean, very slow. On his turn with an aggro deck, he can take a few minutes. Like, this is a player who cannot play on MTGO because he times out every game.
That's ridiculous.
He's the type of player that you sit down and play and say you have an hour time limit, he gets 45 minutes of it. And it's the only way you're going to finish your game against him. But he does move at a pace where he's just being very deliberate.
I'd be calling judge on him.
Dude, a lot of people have called judges on him, and judges always rule in his favor. He's just a deliberate player. He's not slow playing you. Okay, he's just being very deliberate with all of his plays.
You're running aggro, and you have like one card in hand, and you're taking 3 minutes. You have to play it. You cannot look, especially at a high level tournament. You're expected to play at a quick pace, and if you can't,
you're expected to play at a reasonable pace.
Yeah, you're expected to
play. Not a quick pace, a reasonable pace.
It's considered part of the game skill. It's considered part of the skill, and if you're not skilled enough, then you shouldn't be there. Like, you shouldn't be playing that deck probably to begin with if you're taking that long to make decisions.
I'm using one player for this example, and you know, he's a friend of mine. And I, playing against him like pains me. I'm not going to lie, but you know what? He is a very good player, and I've asked him multiple times, dude, when you have two cards in hand and like, I'm watching you play a game and I see the obvious play, what are you thinking about? And he's flat out told me, he'll sit there and he'll go, I'm trying to figure out what's in his hand, what cards I have left in my deck. He will go through every card in his deck in his head so he can figure out what the proper play is between those two cards, depending on what his next draw would be.
Not
mathematically.
Though, there's people that are,
dude, he's like autistic when he plays.
Well, there's
the
people
time,
that are
people
like that, like John Finkel. Raptor is another guy I've heard that about. There's people that can process and compute things
right
like that in like, you know, fractions of seconds. And if you're not that guy, don't try to be. Like, no one has time to sit there and wait for you to statistically calculate in your head, like, fucking the odds of every fucking card you potentially draw. Like, there's people out there, like I said, Finkel is a mind freak, he can do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a little slower at it, but he does it every turn, and that's, I mean, like I say, you know, with your definition of scumbag, I can see somebody looking at this player and calling him a rules lawyer scumbag when, again, like I said, when I play against some dude, it drives me bananas because I don't get enough time in a round to actually play my round.
We're talking minutes. Saito got banned for taking 30 seconds on his
The
turn.
Difference is that's not Saito's typical play speed.
Okay.
This guy's typical play speed from round 1 to round 20 is the same.
You can't discriminate. You can't say, well, this guy, he always plays the slow, so it's okay. But Saito...
No, but that's how the rules are written.
So it's... No.
No, that is exactly how the rules are written. For slow play, to call slow play on somebody, okay, you actually have to be able to establish that he is purposely slowing down the game. That his play has slowed down so you can prove that he has slowed down, that he has slowed down purposely for the clock. That is actually how the rule is written. Like, if you're just a slow player in general, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just when you start to slow down from your normal pace of play because you notice the clock's time and you are playing for a draw, or, you know, you're playing for a draw that actually turns out to be a win because it's game two. Like, that is the ruling for slow play. If your pace of play never changes from get up to end, you're allowed to play that slow as long as it's reasonable.
I don't know. That's annoying shit.
Is it annoying? Yes. But like I said, it drives me bananas when I play against him. But at the same time, I can see people looking at him and, you know, calling him the scumbag rules lawyer. And he is very on the rules. So, I mean, I really believe it's in the eye of the beholder a lot of times. It's in the opponent's eyes if somebody rules lawyerdom or not. And I think the definition just is whatever the opponent says it is. And that's why I say that there's no problem with being a rules lawyer. The problem is in being a dick.
Well, yeah, sure. But to me, my definition of a rules lawyer is a dick. Like, well, is someone intentionally, you know, trying to one-up somebody? Is that, I guess, at the spirit of it all.
Yeah, but that's going to end up being in, as far as you, I don't know, man. We'll move on. This is a discussion that's going nowhere. last week I made a promise, and what we're going to do is, because I brought up Hardcore History a while back.
Yeah.
And a few people decided that they wanted to listen to it, and I talked to some posse members at a pre-release, and they said, you know what? Yeah, we'd like to know what podcasts you guys listen to, because, you know, I listen to a bunch of podcasts. Ryan listens to a bunch of podcasts. You're going to be shocked at how few magic podcasts I listen to. And the reason I don't listen to very many magic podcasts is because I don't want to repeat what other people say. I want to have my own opinion on things. Do you listen to a lot of magic podcasts?
Yes. I just listen to a lot of podcasts, period. Like, okay. I'm way behind right now.
So let's go over what you listen to. I'm sure you have a couple that, you know, slot in, but if you run out of podcasts, but we'll get into them a little later. What is on your main playlist, man?
I mean, obviously, fucking Brainstorm Brewery. I mean, that's our home site. That's who sponsors us.
You really listen to that?
And I listen to it every Friday.
I've listened to one episode.
It's a great show, man.
Well, my thing is I don't care about finance.
Well, and it's not even that. I'm interested in the finance, and I buy a lot based on what they, information they have. Mm-hmm. I really do. I listen to what they have to say. For example, I bought into a bunch of coursers when Marcel said to when they were like $253. They're like $2. Right. They're $17 now. I got a bunch of them I got playsets for like around $10.
Goddamn, you ought to send me a playset for $10 then.
Some coursers? You don't have coursers?
Dude, I don't play paper. How the fuck would I get coursers?
That's what we need to get you into paper. We're going to work on that.
Well, you're going to have to send me some cards to get me started in.
We need to get you into paper.
That's fine. If I can get coursers and I can get Sylvan Caryatids, like, I'm probably going to dabble because I have Garrix.
Yeah, I could probably easily, like, loan you a standard deck. So I love Brainstorm Brewery. I love the chemistry, that Marcel and the guys have. Jason, Ryan, fuck Corbin. No one gives a shit about Corbin. He's like this asshole that's on the show that,
I thought Jason Alt took that role for a while with the guy that nobody likes.
Jay's kind of the leader, like, you know, he's just full of like, just brilliant wisdom and advice and like, you know, great, financial insight. He's kind of like a Warren Buffett.
Dude, it's funny. Like I said,
finance.
I don't listen to that show. And Marcel and Jason are personal friends of mine. I don't like finance. I don't care about it.
Well, I mean, they talk more than finance. I mean, they fucking shoot the shit and whatnot. And a lot of what they say, though, I follow standard. And a lot of what they say, like financially,
turns out to be true. No, they're very good at what they do. And if you're into finance, by all means, listen to it.
Well, no, I think it kind of like ebbs and flows of the game. Like, oh, they are saying. And this card's picking up in price, and that maybe I need to look out for this deck a little bit in upcoming weeks. I mean, and that turns out to be true all the time. Like, so definitely Brainstorm Brewery right off the top. Tap and Sack, it goes without saying. I mean, my boy, my homie, Ginger Ale over there, and John Kelso.
That's my brother, man. I don't listen to their shit.
See, I've been saying his name so wrong for so long now, I'm forgetting what it really is. Is it Kelso or Celso? I think his real name is Celso.
It is Celso.
Okay, that's what I thought. And see, I've just been calling him Kelso so long that it's gospel to me now. So Kelso and Ginger Ale and Matt Frazier over there, I'm obviously a big Tab and Sack listener for a long time.
How often is Frazier on there? Because I've been on there a few times, and I've only been on there with him once.
He has not been on in a while. Like, he's off and on. Like, he's got a wife and kid and shit. Oh,
that's understandable.
He's an older guy, smart guy. Like, when he is on, though, he's always got good things to say. He's definitely someone whose information, like, I take in. He's buddies with, like, Craig Wesco and shit, and, knows what he's talking about. Sweet. Let's see, Another one that's sponsored by Brainstorm Brewery. Yeah, us. Listen to Pit Imps. I love what Angelo and Ryan are doing there at Pit Imps.
Yeah, yeah, those guys, man, they're really on top of it. Fucking good people, awesome. You should pay attention.
Yeah. also sponsored, I believe, by Brainstorm Brewery is, I haven't really interacted with these guys much. I don't even know if they listen to us or whatever, but, is the Spike Feed.
Yeah, I've never listened to one of their episodes. I've heard good things about it, though.
Yeah, it's like, they're like 40 minutes long, like 30, 40 minutes. They're just real quick, like off the cuff shit, like just quick news. Curtis is the host. I think he's at Curtis now on Twitter, and Curtis Cameron, and they got a Dustin who's like this professional magic trader, more or less is what it seems like.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like over in Japan right now, like trading cards and shit. I don't know. It seems like that's what he does for a living. They're always asking him every week. Like, you know, he talks about, trades he's been trying to make or whatever. And, you know, they basically, you know, it's kind of like us a little bit, and that they shoot this shit, like, you know, what they did at F&M or whatnot, but it's just real short. Good cast, very well like edited and put together. Let's see. And the last one I'll mention, I got a couple more, but people in the posse, like, they've, you know, expressed issues with them or whatnot, or just like there's certain ones people don't like. You know, that I might listen to. I won't throw out there, but I do want to give a special props to Magic the Amateuring. It's one I picked up on recently. They're at about 80 episodes. It's, two girls, Maria and Megan, and their co-host Ben. They're actually hilarious. So that's like number one reason to listen. They're funny as fuck. Like,
what's that, Megan?
They're very educational. Yeah. I mean, they're aimed at the newer players, like clearly Magic the Amateuring. Like they say that right off the bat, but they invite you to listen along if you know, you're an older player or whatever. And, it's one that Megan enjoys. It's her favorite Magic podcast. So it's one like we can listen to together or whatever in the car or whatnot. So.
Wait. That's her favorite Magic podcast.
Well, I mean, aside from Pit Imps.
Okay. All right. Then I'm good.
You saw whose t-shirt she was wearing on Friday.
Yep.
So Magic the Amateuring. I mean, then there's some other ones, obviously A-Team, I'm pretty sure like most people listen to. I try to catch the limited resources set review shows every time, just cause they're gold. If you're gonna, you know, those are the only limited resource episodes I listen to, but.
Those are the ones I usually skip.
Really?
Yeah, they're just too fucking long, man.
Yeah, but those, yeah, I just...
This one, the Commons Uncommons for M15 was like 5+ hours, and I'm just like...
But to me, that's all valuable. Like, it's just valuable info to me. Like, I do not mind listening to them. Like, I'll spend a Saturday watching coverage and, like, listening to that. But yeah, and then obviously, once in a while I'll catch, if Jack's on there, I'll listen to Monday Night Magic. I try to catch some Manapool now and again. But really,
do you listen to any non-Magic podcasts?
Yeah, I do actually. Let's see. There's Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, obviously. Right. I listen to Bill Maher, a Real Time with Bill Maher podcast.
By the way, that is just the show. So if you have HBO, you don't need to watch or you don't need to listen.
Yeah.
I used to listen to it when I didn't have HBO. So I do understand that one.
I do enjoy listening to myself. Listen to, Swinger Cast. There's a good one called the Memory Palace. It's hosted by a guy named Nate DeMeo, and it's real short snippets, like maybe 10, 15 minutes at most, about like just crazy out there stories about history that are kind of like a story about the guy who had to babysit the atomic bomb all night and like what he did and shit. Like,
oh, just, what a job.
Yeah, just like the weirdest like moments in history. Like, one of my favorites he did is called Six Scenes in the Life of William J. Sidis, Wonderful Boy. Mm-hmm. This kid who could recite like the entire Greek history is written by like ancient philosophers in Latin by the time he was like 3.
Oh shit.
Spoke like tons of different languages, invented his own language with like 18 different like tenses or something crazy. Was a professor at Harvard by the time he was like 9 or some shit. Was just insane, but no one's ever heard of this guy. He ended up like kind of just becoming like this recluse and like figured a way to like take public transit from like one end of the country to the other.
Goddamn.
Like, obsessed with it. Like,
I can't get from the county above me to my county on public transit.
Yeah. I mean, just crazy, crazy stories. Like, you know, stuff about like how people used to be buried alive all the time. And that's why that you would see like bells, you know, coming out of the ground back in the day.
So they could ring it to let somebody know, yo, I'm not dead.
You know, the history of the lobster is another great episode that the Memory Palace did. So check them out. Swinger cast is cool. That's
hold exactly on a second, Ryan. Just a little anecdote. I don't know if you know this or not, but the bell, you know what they did before the bell?
What's that?
And this is where the whole vampire thing comes from. When people would be buried alive on accident because they was in a coma or they were knocked out for a long time and people thought they were dead and they bury them, to stop them from rising from the dead, they would drive a stake through their heart into the casket.
Yeah.
And that was to hold them down if they woke back up, not realizing that they probably killed a bunch of people that they shouldn't have. And eventually enough people realized that there was no coming back from the dead, that they actually started putting the bell with the string so you could ring the bell if you woke up and they'd dig you out.
Huh.
It's interesting, I know.
So, oh, and before I forget to Back to Magic podcast, fuck, I forgot to mention our boy Calvin Layfield, Direct Damage cast. Who, by the way, if you're listening, Megan wants to know where her shout out is. She didn't get it in the last couple episodes.
Calvin
was supposed to shout her out. We just caught up with the latest episode 15, I believe, and there was no such shout out to be heard.
Oh,
gotta give Calvin shit. So other than that, outside magic, I mean, I watch Game of Thrones, so I like a cast of kings. It's, if you're into Game of Thrones, it's like the go-to cast.
That's Ryan's casts. Okay.
Oh, Fat Man on Batman is really, really good. That's another one I tried.
That's a Kevin Smith one.
Yeah. And, him and I quit listening to them. They were really fucking funny, but it was just became like the same, like Jason Mewes sex stories every week. I think it's Jay and Silent Bob Get Old or something.
Yeah.
That's another one, that's pretty fucking funny.
My wife's into that one and Babylon.
Okay, I have never listened to Babylon, but I do like Fat Man on Batman just because I'm a bit of a, like, you know, nerd.
Yeah, my wife listens to all of his podcasts, and, you know, the dude can talk for hours, so he's actually pretty good at it. I don't know, I've never found myself downloading him.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and also, real quick, Yo MTG Taps.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what? I used to have them on my roll, and when he took his big hiatus, when the two of them took their big hiatus, it fell off. And now that's one of those shows I go to when I run out.
Yeah, fuck. I listen to way too many fucking...
You do. Okay.
I got to thinking, that is a lot of magic podcasts. What the fuck am I doing listening to that many magic podcasts?
I don't know. As far as magic podcasts go, I don't really listen to ours, but I download ours.
Every week.
I mean, I just have the RSS feed on my phone and it just downloads. So
I download it in two places.
So once in a while, I will listen to it if I run out of stuff. But typically I just kind of fast forward through that.
People download, the episodes too at Brainstorm Brewery. So our sponsors think we're really awesome.
Yeah. And tell them that we sent you there.
Yeah.
I listen to Monday Night Magic every week. Those guys, I think they bring something. Look, I don't listen to it for magic content at all. I listen to it because Chewy, Clues, and Jack all make me laugh. And that's why I listen to it. So yeah, I also listen to Limited Resources. Those are the only magic podcasts that are every week I listen to.
I thought you were Heavy Meta.
Heavy Meta is one of those ones I listen to when I run out of stuff. It used to be an every week thing, but it just kind of fell off because realistically, I don't know, like it just, some of them get a bit excessively long.
You just don't have the time. See, I like those long podcasts.
Yeah, some of them get a bit, I actually have a lot of time to listen to casts because I can throw headphones on the entire time at work. I'm at work, and as everyone knows, I work 10 to 12 hours a day. But it's just one of those, I don't want to listen to too many magic podcasts. I just don't. And like once in a while, if I run out of stuff, I'll download their newest episode, or if Kevy gets old of me and goes, oh dude, this one's hilarious, I'll listen to it. But a lot of times, it's not always my bag. I mean, some of the things, like the midget jokes, I'm not real big on. I cannot stand TSG and he's on there a lot. So yeah, like, God. So like, I mean, there's a reason that I don't actually just have him downloading every week.
I'd like to try THC. This to the back of his skull so bad.
I no longer listen to the A-Team. I used to listen to it all the time. It's just something that kind of, I kind of fell out of favor with.
I like the A-Team a lot. Especially I've picked up on it a lot more since, Schofield joined. I love Jeremy,
but
since he's been on there, I've made it a point to download that show.
Like, I will not lie, my personal the only cast I listen to for personal reasons is Monday Night Magic. Everybody else who I'm friends with who has broadcasts, I don't just listen to them because I'm their friends. I can't.
You don't listen to Money Draft, Slick Jagger, Jason?
I listened to that once in a blue moon. I listened to the first two episodes.
I love
Slick's my boy, dude, and so is Jason. I mean, it just doesn't make my rounds, man.
Well, shout out to them too. If anyone likes Brainstorm Brewery, like Money Draft's another one to check out.
If you want the R version of it. Yeah, if you want the R version of Brainstorm Brewery, you know, the one that's like, you know, that says the seven words that Carlin says you're not allowed to say, that's the one to go to.
There you go.
But as everybody knows, I do like wrestling. So I listen to three different wrestling podcasts. Which really ain't wrestling podcasts, it's just the hosts are wrestling guys. One is Talk is Jericho, which because of his relationship with music, he actually has a lot of good music guests on that I like to listen to. But there is a lot of wrestling guests too, don't get me wrong. Stone Cold Steve Austin actually has two shows. One's called The Steve Austin Show Unleashed, and one is called Just The Steve Austin Show. And basically it's one of them swears and one of them doesn't. I listen to both of those. They're fairly entertaining. If you're into wrestling. If you're not into wrestling, don't listen to the Steve Austin show.
Grown men pretending to fight each other, not really into it.
Dude, you know what? Like, there is a science behind it that your average person doesn't understand, but the funny thing is with wrestling, like, if you got into wrestling from the time you was 8 to, like, 15...
I wrestled real wrestling 8 years.
Yeah. I'm not talking about that type. Okay, well, alright, if you got into wrestling from the time you was, like, 8 to 15... You go away from it, and then trust me, there's going to be a point where everyone comes back to it, and they're just
No. And I was I was the biggest Stone Cold Steve Austin fan ever. I do want to say I have caught an episode of his podcast. He is pretty good.
He's funny. I mean, he's a lot more entertaining than you would expect out of
him. Yeah, no, I mean, and he interviews a ton of people, like.
He does, but it is mostly wrestling.
Mostly, yeah, but, I was around when, like, NWO came out and, like,
I used to catch three ECW fucking house shows a month.
The ECW was like the garage like league.
ECW was fucking great.
Yeah, those guys were more insane. Like, I will say this about like wrestling, like the injuries are real, but the
wrestling is not fake. It's only that decision is already decided.
Yeah, I mean, those guys do get hurt for real, and it is extremely physical.
Oh, they're athletes.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Have you seen some of those guys? They're clearly athletes, no doubt about it, but it's just to me the outcome being rigged. It's goofy.
Yeah, you know, I had to get over it. Cause I know what you're saying. Cause you're just like, God damn it. You know, it's like, I want this guy to win, but
it's just cheesy to me.
You have to get over that, and you actually have to, you almost have to buy in.
Like the trash talking behind stage. Here in the Midwest, we have, I don't know if you guys have, it's called Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Ring of Honor comes around my area. Ring of Honor is actually fairly big. It's like the biggest of the minor leagues.
Okay. Well, they're on TV here. Like
they're here too, Saturday nights.
And there's a commercial we always make fun of because it's like that wrestler talk. They always talk shit. It's like Ring of Honor. And it's like, who the fuck talks like that? Like, I don't know, man. Like,
there's some good wrestlers in Ring of Honor.
The way they talk shit about each other and like,
the whole
backstage. I remember when I was a kid, it used to be so dramatic. Like, someone would get like ran over by a car backstage and like
that was the WWE back.
Yeah,
in the day. Like it was a lot more hardcore back in the day. Now it's just not.
Oh, no one's getting ran over with cars.
No, it's very tamed down. They've become a PG show, so it's just not like it used to be. Like, that was called the Attitude Era.
Like, there's no more, like, Sable, bikini.
Taking off clothes? No, none of that.
No more bikini mat. That's too bad. And I remember I was a big fan of the rest of the dude, Owen Hart, when he fell.
Yeah, I remember that. I was watching it.
It was crazy. Shit was crazy. Yeah.
I once watched a guy, New Jack. It was for XPW, which is out of, LA.
Uh-huh.
It's Extreme Pacific Wrestling. He was fighting this dude who was like 450 pounds in a scaffolding match. So he hits this dude with a taser from the top of the scaffolding, and this dude went through 22 tables and then hit the ring, but he didn't hit the ring, even. He caught the ropes with his leg, and he got flung clean across the ring, because they put the tables there actually to break the fall, but they didn't because of the way he landed. He went off of the ropes, clean across the ring, out of the ring, and landed on the concrete. Like, they were telling people, okay, thank you for coming, but seriously, you need to get the fuck out of here. This dude's hurt for real. We need to get an ambulance in here.
Eddie Guerrero, I think was his name, had like a heart attack.
Yeah, Eddie Guerrero is dead.
Was it him that had like a heart attack in the ring or something? Remember, speaking of scaffolding matches, man, remember Mankind?
Oh yeah.
Ladder matches.
Dude, he got thrown off of the King of the Ring in Pittsburgh.
When I was a fucking kid, there was nothing greater than fucking Mankind Undertaker like ladder matches, dude.
Oh yeah. Mick Foley is a god.
But sorry, we went way off.
Yeah, we did. But those, if you watch wrestling, those are the wrestling podcasts I recommend. As far as reference podcasts go, I listen to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, and I also listen to Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, because he's fucking awesome.
Right. As far as political podcasts go, I listen to Common Sense with Dan Carlin. He kind of takes an outsider's look at politics, and he doesn't make himself a Democrat. He doesn't make himself a Republican. He uses his knowledge of history to analyze a situation that's going on, and I enjoy that. Is it for everyone? No. And he even says it himself. So
I will have to check that out, because if there's anything he is, it's honest and straightforward.
Yeah, he's very honest, very straightforward. But I listen to that show and I enjoy it. Now, I listen to a bunch of comedy podcasts. I listen to one that's called Talking Shit with Eddie Ift, which used to be Talking Shit with Jim Jeffries and Eddie Ift, but Jim Jeffries left. And so I kind of was one of those people who came for Jim and stayed for Eddie when Jim left, because, you know, it is a funny show, but it at times can get quite racist. So it's just one of those things that I just kind of deal with, whether I agree with what they're saying or not. There's enough jokes in there that I smile and laugh while listening to it, even if once in a while they offend me. But not for everybody. And it is not safe to listen to that at work. If you like, you know, put it on like a speaker or something, do not listen to that on a speaker. I listened to the About Last Night podcast with comedians Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Brad Williams is a little person who is very funny. And Adam Ray is, you know, just your typical actor comedian. He was in Heat with Sandra Bullock that just came out a couple years ago. He was the club guy who kind of like, you know, got his face shoved into Sandra Bullock's boobs. So that's who they are. And I listen to that. I listen to Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast. This is the funniest one-man podcast out there. Plain and simple, flat out.
Bill Burr's funny.
Like, the dude is fucking off his rocker. And he does them all by himself for the most part, and he will fucking crack you up. For some reason this week he had Jim Norton on, but typically he does them all by himself, and they're pretty funny. People send him questions, and he answers them as best as he can, and he tries to put some humor in it, and it's pretty fucking funny. I do recommend that one. I listened to The Crab Feast with Ryan Sickler and Jay Lawson. The Crab Feast is actually what I originally based the Imps Prison off of. These are two comedians who are up and comers, and I think honestly in a few years everyone's gonna know who Ryan Sickler is. Like, this dude is one of the funniest people alive, and for some reason he's kind of still a house comedian. I wish more people knew about him. But they're a storytelling podcast, and some of the shit you hear on these fucking, on that podcast just will put you in fucking tears. Honest to God truth, it is funny as hell. I also listen to More Stories, and I think that's one of those ones that I'm hanging on to just because I've listened to it forever. Some of them are really good. Some of them are really bad. Sometimes, Jay Moore can kind of overinflate himself and drown out the guest. But it's just one of those ones I've listened to forever. When I find time to add extras, these are where I usually throw in my extra magic podcasts. And, you know, once in a while I'll listen as an extra to, what the hell is his name from, the wrestling thing, but he's a comedian. Not wrestling, but, UFC. cannot think of his fucking name.
Joe Rogan?
Yeah, I'll listen to Joe Rogan's cast once in a while if I need an extra one.
Man, he's out there with some of his shit, man.
Dude, he's fucking nuts.
He's weird, like some of his, like, he's really into like
anything.
Aliens, like aliens and weird, like.
Real conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, he's got some off the wall, but like, he says some off the wall shit that, like, I don't know. I try not taking dude too seriously, but he is, as weird as this, you know, sounds, given what I just said, he's also, I think, at the same time, he can be intelligent, and, you know, he doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't bullshit.
No, that's a good show, and he puts out like 4 a week. So if I'm running out of podcasts and I need a couple, you know, new podcasts, I know I can go to him and get a couple new episodes. And it's just a matter of picking which guests I want to listen to. So like for a filler, that one's good. Heavy Meta's a filler. What the hell? The Calvin Layfield's podcast, Dirty Image.
Yeah.
Once in a while I listen to that. Like I listen to like the first 6 or 7 of them.
Which, speaking of, when is Casey coming on?
I don't know. I haven't talked to Casey in a while. I need to bring her on. Yeah, I'll get her on real soon. And yeah, those are kind of my filler ones. There's a couple other like off the wall ones that I don't know the name of. I just kind of find them, and they're usually like reference ones, like history, and science, just because I'm a dork. Like, I love history and science, and I can sit there and listen to that shit all day long.
I wish I could recall the name of the one I used to listen to. You probably really like. I think they stopped making them, but it was like just a history of battles, and they would just do like a battle a week.
Yeah, the one I've been listening to is like, it's from some British magazine, and it's like, Ancient
Warfare.
Yeah, that one.
That's a decent one, but the quality isn't that great.
No, it's no better than ours.
It's probably much worse than ours, in fact.
Realistically, it is. You hear little babies crying in the background and stuff, but like, I mean, the guys, they do some interesting, talks about history. So I'll listen to that once in a while just because it's something that, you know, like I said, when I run out of all of those, which doesn't happen all the time, I do need a couple fillers, and those are the ones I typically go to. Aside from that, Ryan, what you been up to, bro?
Nothing.
Sweet. You live such a fucking great life. It's, you know what it is?
Playing Magic. Spending
too much time listening to Magic podcasts and not enough time living.
No, let's see. Had some fun at F&M this past week. I'm going to give up Nia Walkers after another not so great performance with the deck. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just not getting there. The addition of Nissa. Add
Islands, man. It'll help.
Nissa's fucking good, bro.
Yep. And so is Jace and so is Kiora. Add Islands.
Yeah, no, I'm working on a bant list now, as we speak, actually, and,
good shit.
I'm not, gonna include Nissa.
Okay.
Although, I don't know, I am gonna run Advent of the Worm. Maybe Nissa's not too bad of a call.
I don't know, as long as Shocks are around, I don't see why Nissa's bad, really, in anything that runs green.
Nissa was fucking awesome. To be able to, I was able to, like, untap, like, Stomping Grounds and Temple Gardens, and, yeah, I was able to monstrous, I believe, one of my guys, one turn because of it. Yeah, the untapping forest is really sweet. And then, you know, and certain matchups at certain times, like the making your lands for forests is really fucking good too. So yeah, like I said, that mono green devotion deck's insane. I played against that round one and, you know, lost, game 3 to a Nissa Ultimate. Pretty fucking nutty. Yeah, and Nykthos, Shrine of Nyx, the card's fucking broken.
In mono green, yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely broken. Played against, like, some dude that made me want to flip the table, but I'm gonna go to control myself. He was playing, like, some red-blue, like, Spellheart, you know that Spellheart, yep. Chimera?
Yep.
Oh my fucking god, dude. He, first of all, like, my first play of the game, he goes Essence Scatter. My next play of the game, he goes Essence Scatter. Okay. My third play of the game, he goes Dissolve. My fourth play of the game, Counterflux.
Dude, I am loving this deck.
Dude, I wanted to scream.
Welcome to old school Magic, man.
And he's just sitting there and he's not playing anything. I'm like, when are you gonna fucking tap out and play something?
Welcome to old school Magic, Ryan, the shit that I love.
I looked at him, I said, are we gonna play? Like, what are we doing? I was like, what is this? Are you kidding me?
Dude, you so would not have survived back in the day, cause that's how all games were.
No, I mean, it was cool, but he wasn't doing anything.
That's the way it used to be. You drew your card, you passed the turn.
And then he plays a Spellheart after he's got like 15 fucking counter spells and...
Yeah, and it was big.
Lightning strikes in the graveyard, and no, I was able to just casually kill it, and like, eventually, it was like, normally I would have in the past, I would have just been like, pass, and then let him like, draw and pass, and like, I took your advice about, you know, just running their hand out, like, you gotta like, eventually you'll be able to stick a threat, and that's, you know, kind of what happened, and he wasn't able to deal with it, and I was able to land an Elspeth both games.
Yeah, sometimes, goddamn. Feedback. Holy shit. Sometimes what ends up happening, especially when you're playing against a true, what's called, you know, permission control.
Yeah.
Which is that type of deck. What you want to do is like in the first few turns, you do what you do. You try to stick stuff. If it doesn't stick, you go, okay, fucker. And then you sit there for about 3-4 turns and you fill your hand up. And if you have cheap creatures, which I don't know if you did or not, but like, I know this was like a mono white tactic back in the day. You just, you know, no counter spell was cheaper than the creatures, and you just made them counter them all. Like counter 7 spells, fucker. And when they could no longer counter them because they run out of mana before you do, then you start the beats.
Yeah. And well, I brought in Mistcutter Hydra and like,
yeah, that'll win you the game too.
I mean, that pretty much is what won it. I knew he was running, Lightning Strike and, fucking, Magma Jet. So I figured he might have had, Mizzium Mortars in the board. So I just waited till I could Mistcutter and get like a 5/5 and just.
Which you can do against that deck. You can just sit there and be like, yeah, I'll wait.
Yeah. And that's all I did game two. Like, game two, he like, I don't know, negated and dissolved something. And then I was just like, okay, I got to like 7 land or something, drew a Mistcutter and just played it all huge. So
that's sweet.
Yeah, but, other than that, you know, just been trying to, you know, work out some kinks with some new, with the decks, we've been playing. Megan, shout out to her. She went 5-0 Friday with her Pit-Imps, the Pit-Imps shirt.
Sweet, sweet.
So that was good. Opened a foil, Johnny, the new one.
Ooh.
So that's pretty good. I don't think the card is very good, unfortunately. So
I think it's good. I with the other Johnnies that are out there, I just don't know how it stacks up.
Yeah, we got 2 Nissa. I'm trying to get more and, hoping to get some Garrick's. So
yeah. I went to FNM this week and.
You drafted though, didn't you?
Yeah, I drafted. The FNM that I went to was a draft. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm spoiled. And this is very possible because I, you know, everything that I know about draft is for 8-man pods. You know, like I can draft in 9-mans and I can draft in 7-man pods. But I showed up at this FNM and it was 19 people. So I was like, okay, pods should be 6-6-7. And they went, no, pods are 9-10. And I got put into a 10-man pod, and I really had a hard time drafting it because there's just too many people for too few colors.
No shit.
And then I had Dave sitting next to me who
tables.
I really hope he understands when I tell him he did it wrong, even though he finished second place, because he splashed for the angel that brings your life back to 20, which is 2 white mana, and then he splashed for an Avacyn. Those were his 2 white splash cards, and I'm like, dude, you don't splash for those fucking cards.
They're really good. I mean,
but it's 3 white and it's 2 white. Like in the long run, if you draft like that all the time and you splash those 2 cards every time, you're gonna lose a lot more than you win.
Well, yeah, you don't really want to splash like for especially for things that cost multiples of a.
Right. It's like 3 white and 2 white. I'm like, dude, like you're really pushing your mana base with that. Like you probably shouldn't do it. The mana run well for him though most of the night, and he ended up, I want to say, 4-1 in second place.
The format is very slow.
Yeah, my deck, I mean, like, it just, I don't know, I went down a rabbit hole on the first pack because it appeared that something was open, and it turns out that it was open, but people were drafting stuff around me. Like the one kid to my left, I don't know if it was his first time drafting or what, but like when he was doing his deck building, I looked over and saw all 5 colors and I'm like, what the fuck? And then like Dave, I was in white blue, and then Dave took literally the 2 cards that would have fit my deck perfectly, and his reasoning for taking the Avacyn and the Angel was, you're the last person I'm going to give these cards to. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not how you're supposed to draft, dude. Like, I don't care what I pass to the person next to me. I'm going to build my deck as good as it can possibly be.
It worked though. It worked.
It worked for one night. If you go long term, it's a bad strategy, man.
Yeah, but you don't want to give bombs to your opponents either.
I don't care. I've given all kinds of bombs to opponents. As long as my deck's better, I don't care. Dude, I pass rares all the time. It's not a big deal to me. I pass mythics. If the card doesn't fit, I just don't take it. Which really weirds them out because, again, I'm used to playing on MTGO. And, yeah. You know, I'll pass a card and they're like, why are you passing a $12 card to me? I'm like, two reasons. One, I didn't know that was $12 because it's not where I play. And two, because it doesn't fit my deck. You know, if I knew it was $12, I probably would have took it just because it's worth $12. But, you know... I do that type of thing, you know, I'm just looking to fix my deck. But anyway, I don't believe that ever you should make people draft in pods of 10 or more. Like, it's just...
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just too hard on the drafters. It really is, you know, and I'll be real honest, like, when I got done drafting my deck, I just was just like, as soon as I lose, I'm done. And I won my first round, and I'm like, God damn it. I'm ready to go home. I don't even want to play this deck anymore. I wasn't happy when he said 10-9, and then I drafted that pile of garbage, and I'm like, how the fuck did I win my first round? And then round two, Tice put me out of my misery, thank God. And I got up and left. And, you know, I was a little disappointed in it just because, like, just sitting down in a 10-man pod just drove me bananas, but... I don't know. You know,
you run home, huh?
No, dude, this is one of the reasons actually why I like kind of quit playing paper, because I get put in these odd situations that just, you know, realistically shouldn't happen when you're playing Magic. That and the whole earlier I was saying, like, they'd make me do takesy-backsies when I called a judge over. Like, things like that just kind of chase me away from paper in general. I'm just like, it's not my thing. But you know, hey, I did see a lot of people there with Pitim shirts. That was really cool because they seemed to show up for most people on Friday. Like, I had to take my wife to take a test downtown. And I get back and mine was sitting there. Don't worry, she's okay. But you know, like I went, got home, I saw mine sitting there, and then Dave came over to pick his shirt up because I actually ordered his for him. Yeah. And he was like, you know, you drafting. And I'm like, yeah, I think I am. And, you know, so I saw him over there. But, yeah, as far as the shirts go, trust me, all the money that was made off of these shirts are going back into this show. How are they doing that? I don't know if you can tell. I might sound a little clearer to you. I have a brand new headset that I'm using. I've also gotten some RAM on order for my computer. And then there's also going to be other things in the future that I am going to use that money for to put back into the show. Like, if I ever sell anything from this show, the money's never going to go in my pocket. It's not something I want to do or I'm going to do. I may find some loose reasons to justify it.
For you guys.
You know, like I'll say, well, I used it to pay for my internet bill. But realistically, if I don't have internet, the show doesn't go out. So, yeah. I mean, but it will always, in some way, benefit this show. I would never just take your money to put it in my pocket. I don't think that's right. Unless you just want to give me money, then that's different. Okay. Also, yesterday I kind of had heat stroke.
What?
Yeah, I kind of had heat stroke yesterday.
Like, legit? Did you go to the doctors or?
No, I didn't go to the doctors. It's something that I've dealt with enough times that I kind of know it when I see it.
You've dealt, like, what, did you go sit in a tub of ice like you should have?
No, actually sitting in a tub of ice is bad.
No.
It drops your core temperature too quick.
No.
To drop it slow because if not, you can go into shock.
You don't want to just throw somebody into it.
No, I didn't go sit in a tub of ice. What I ended up doing was, and here's kind of what happened. Like, when I get working at work, sometimes I forget to drink water. Okay, and yesterday was kind of one of those days. I did not drink as much water as I should have. And it was hot, and it was humid, and it sucked balls. But I had a job I had to get done, so I didn't drink as much water as I should have. Okay, that's my own stupidity. I get that. Then I came home, and I sat in the air conditioning for a while. Thought that I was good, and then I went out and did some side jobs. Was not good yet. It got all loopy and shit and, like, weird. Then I had to take the wife up to the bank to... After I got done doing the side jobs, I had to go up to the bank, pull some money out for my wife because she had a doctor's appointment today. And, like, I went through the ATM thing, and I drive away, and she goes, do you even have your card? I look down. I'm like, fuck, I don't have my card. So I had to drive. I had to back it up and grab my card. I was, like, in outer space. And then, like, I jumped into the shower, and Ryan, hot, steaming shower. Like, you know, the mirror in my bathroom is just fogged over before I even jump into the shower. Uh-huh. As soon as I hit this water, I started shivering.
No good.
No good. I'm like, oh, fuck, I got a heat stroke. This is great. So after that, I kind of went into the AC, and after I got out the shower cooled me down slower than it would if I just took a cold shower. Like, you take a cold shower when you're that fucked up, like, you will faint.
So you pound some water?
Yeah, I pounded a bunch of water. Like, I mean, I was sitting there just slugging water. And then I, you know, I sat in the AC and kind of got my core back down and went to bed, woke up this morning, pretty much felt fine. So yeah, I'm good again. I was a little more cautious today because it was hot as balls again and humid. Dude, it's like breathing mayonnaise right now. I cannot stand how that feels. You're just out there just, it's bad. So I
see, and I have the opposite problem. I sit in an office and bitch about it being cold.
Yeah, fuck you. So there's that. Also, something I need to put out there is on September 13th, it's a Saturday, at the St. James Lodge in Beaver, Pennsylvania. I'm going to be playing in a charity event for a 3-year-old boy who is the son of a teacher by the name of Charlie Rowe. Charlie has, and I'm going to butcher this, alveolar rhabdomyosarcoma.
Okay.
This 3-year-old has a rare form of cancer. And with his parent being a teacher, obviously medical bills are getting out of hand. Teachers do not make a bunch of money. If you don't know that, then, get out from under a rock. So this guy needs help with his son's medical bills. So I am going to, this event is being hosted by Legendary Games Lounge, which is an upstart company that is actually just starting. Like, they don't even have a lounge yet. Right now, they're pretty much just an eBay store. And it's not like Magic. It's more like board games and things like that. Although he is going to start carrying Magic. But I am going to go there to play Magic. If for some reason you would want to donate anything to this, you can send a check to me and make the check out to Champions for Charlie Rowe. And this goes directly into this child's medical fund, basically. You can send me product as well, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold a draft that day. So if you live local, by all means, come out and fucking draft. Pay for your draft. This money's going to help that kid. You'll get the draft against me. And also, we're going to do the drafts all day. The Legendary Game Lounge is going to get some boxes for prizes. I've already been donated a box from somebody who that's going to be the actual draft. And I've also been sponsored by somebody who's, you know, basically just going to pay money and say, okay, for the 18 hours that you're going to be there. Yes, I said I'm going to be there 18 hours. I'm getting there at 9 a.m. and I'm not leaving until they shut the doors. I'm going to try and raise as much money for this kid as possible because, you know, it's sad. But if you'd like to help, get a hold of me and I will explain everything that you can do to help him. What you think about that, Ryan?
I think that's, that sounds pretty fucking cool, man.
Yeah. Eh, I'm taking a Saturday off of work to do it too, so I'm actually losing money on the day. And for me to lose money for anybody, you can tell it's like a worthy cause. Yeah. Shout outs. I'm going to move into shout outs, and I got one for Corey Brown.
Badass.
Because he is just, dude, he makes me laugh so fucking much.
I love that guy.
And also Renee, MTG Reunicorn on Twitter. The two of them yesterday when I was going through my heat stroke and I was tweeting about it. They were funny. Like they showed legitimate concern. So, you know, thank you to you two. I appreciate it. I need to give a shout out to Buttercup because, you know, good job on finishing second, man. I'm happy for you. Just please don't make a habit of that, dude. I want you to be a better player. I don't want you to make mistakes like that. Sometimes they work out, but that's a trap. When it works out once for somebody, a lot of times they go back to that well too many times and things end up bad. Shout out to Andrew Alexander. He is the guy who has already put up a box of M15 for me for that event that I was talking about. I really appreciate that. James Vance gets a shout out. He is the one who's sponsoring me play-wise, cash. You know, he's giving money to this child. Shout out to Chewy who, you know, has hit his goal, man. People were going to at least get products. Now he's just trying. He only has like a day or two left. So by the time you hear this, it might be over. But now he's building money for him. So, you know, I hope he gets there. And, let me give a huge shout out to, Dave Planeswalker. So this guy comes over to my house and, you know, we have a conversation and he lets me write it down.
Dave claims what your multiple, your personality.
No, dude. He's just this guy.
I just don't believe
it's Jace's brother. He comes over to my house once every few months. He usually has to complain about Jace, which I pissed him off because he actually asked me what my favorite planeswalker of all time was. And I was like, you know, Jace the Mind Sculptor. And dude, I thought he was going to kill me. But he has an issue with his brother, whose real name is Billy, apparently. I did not know this. But if you wanted to read that, you can go over to Bro Deals, like, cause I got the whole transcript, but the dude is awesome. you have any shout outs, Rye?
I do have shout outs. First of all, I got an anti-shout out, actually. Anti-shout out to that, whoever you are that robbed Sid Meister in his paper collection. This is a tragedy for Sid. Obviously, anyone that plays Magic, this is like, you know, just a worst fear.
That dude will not be able to sell those. Onar is on that.
I don't even give a fuck. He deserves. I wish, like, this was some universe where the entire posse could descend on this dude's skull with a baseball bat. And, like...
Oh, I feel you, dude.
He should cease to breathe.
This is a dude that definitely deserves an ass whooping.
Yeah.
Break into your boy's house because Sid thinks it's somebody he knows and hangs out with.
I'd catch this motherfucker sleeping.
Dude, I'd just fuck him up.
He'd wake up to a problem.
I'd invite him over for drinks, and about as soon as he started to have one too many, man, I'd fucking take a bottle, turn it sideways, and just fucking crack him upside his skull.
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous, like,
he did him dirty. He should do him back dirty, like,
I mean. Yeah, it's pretty fucked up, so, yeah, it's pretty shitty, so fuck that guy. You're a fucking motherfucker, and I would give my fucking left nut to crack your fucking head open.
Like a cantaloupe.
I would. Sid's my fucking homeboy. Sid's my boy.
Yep.
Let's go, shout out to, man, this is another serious one, man. This guy, I mean, he's obviously going through some things or something. He's got a real life to focus on for a bit. That's Michael Parrish.
Yeah. He
left a heartfelt message on the page. He'll be back, man. He's posse for life. You always are. And it's more than a card game, bro. Like, you know, hang around. You ever want to talk about anything or just holler at us or whatever, dude, like, you know where we're at, like, that's what's up, so, and I hope, you stay listening, that you don't fall off as far as that goes and whatnot, but,
Yeah, Parrish, much love, man. Take care of what you gotta take care of, and we'll see you back when you're ready to come back to the game.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not gonna encroach and get in his personal life, ask him what's going on or whatever, but do wanna let him know he's got our support, so.
Yep.
And, you know, shout out to everyone that gave him, that showed him some love or whatever on the page, like, that's what the group's about, like, y'all understand that, so. That's cool, everyone giving him their farewells and warm wishes and hopes that he's back on the show. Because he was a regular contributor. And I fucking love your deck list, man. Like, I'm kind of fucking shitty about it.
What kills me is, like, he had just bought in a box of M15 and got his shirt and was so pumped about that. And then it was, like, the next day he's like, I gotta leave Magic. So, I mean, it's obviously something very serious.
Yeah, I mean, so we're with him. We're with him.
Yeah.
Prayers or whatever. If you
prayers, pray. Thoughts, whatever you want to do. I mean, we're sending out ours, so.
Yep. Bolts of positive energy your way. Yeah, shout out Jake Collis just because he thinks like me, man. I like Jake Collis. He's on the page. He's just a funny motherfucker. He's another one who was like, I will fucking walk to where you're at then and whoop this dude. Yes. So I got to give
Jake. Yeah, and Sid was like, San Antonio, he's like, ooh, that's far.
But nah, man, shout out Joe Fiorini just because, I mean, the dude's real enthusiastic about the game and he's always hosting shit, letting everyone know what's going on. And
he loves this game.
Seems like he's getting into Tron pretty hard. So I like the posts there. Like, I'm gonna have to get with this guy on Skype or something, man.
It's his own build too. Like, he's made some serious changes from a normal Tron list and he's been doing pretty well with it.
Yeah, definitely some cool shit.
I might not respond to everything he posts, but I read it all.
We got a lot of brewers in the group. If you want to join, if for anything, join because you like fucking brewing decks and shit. If that's your thing and like you want to throw your ideas out there, get on the posse page. If you're just a listener of the show or whatever, casually, like, don't matter, like, get on Facebook, Pinnum's Podcast. I mean, it's just great stuff. I mean, I was like thinking that the other day. It's like everyone here is just like hella creative. It's fucking, it's taken my deck building, like, personally, to another level. I mean, just to read, like, we have, like, intelligent people like Hakan and shit that are just so smart and, like, the way they, like, break stuff down and, like, help you understand the game and how nice everyone is to everybody. Like my deck game, my build game has definitely gone up. Like, just cause you have that group of people that has everything, like, to remind you what, well, you need to keep this in mind, or did you think about this? Well, how's your meta in this regard? Like, just every detail, like, details you don't think about, like, they're there for that.
Yeah, it really helps if you're somebody who doesn't really get the chance to talk Magic every day. Cause believe it or not, just talking Magic every day is going to make you better. And having this group, like, every day I look at my phone and, you know, every few hours, it's like two new messages on the group, and it's like,
yeah,
cool, you know, and it's, there are times that it gets crazy and I'm like, I got 12 in the last hour.
Yeah,
because we get some hot topics, and just talking Magic every day will help so much.
Yeah, so I'll definitely be posting on there later, because I need y'all's help with my mana base on this Bant deck now that we got Yavimaya Coast legal and some of these other lands, so I'm gonna need some help with that. I don't like the thought of running this many temples that some of these lists got, but I don't know. Temples are strong cards, so. But yes, shout out, also to everyone that bought a t-shirt, just cause it means so much. And,
it does.
You know, helping Angelo out, that means a ton, to me, to the show, to Angelo. So yeah, thank you everybody. Please post your pictures on the page, rocking the gear. I know some of y'all did. I need to get pics on there. I think I tweeted some. So I need to get that shit on Facebook.
I actually changed my Twitter avatar finally.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it's me in the shirt.
Nice.
So,
they look fucking sweet, man. Like,
dude, I know, like, so many people were hating on the black on the white shirt. And I'm like, dude, as soon as I opened it up and looked at it, I was like, nah, fuck that. This white is right. This shit is tight, man.
Dirty. Like, I'm just worried about it getting dirty, but.
So am I, but don't be a dirty fucking person. You don't gotta worry about it. You know? Like, don't be a slob and your shit won't get dirty.
There you go. There you go. And there's bleach, you know.
There is bleach. Also, on the shirt front, I'm just gonna make the announcement now. In October, I will be relaunching, except it'll be hoodies.
Oh my god, dude.
That way we got hoodies just in time for when shit starts to get cool. So yep, like late September, early October, I'm gonna be launching hoodies. They're gonna be a little more expensive because they're fucking hoodies. But yeah, sick hoodies.
That would be fucking sick.
I'm thinking black there, because then you got like the white shirt to wear under the black hoodie. Like, that's styling, man.
Chris, keeping it fresh. That's what they would say. Popping fresh. Popping fresh.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all I got for shout outs, and of course all the posse. So
cool. If people need to get a hold of you, how would they do so?
At Bro the Yan on Twitter. You should know by now. And, Pidham's Podcast on Facebook. Of course.
You should know by now, but you new listeners, I know you don't know by now. So you can get a hold of me at Gonksuo on Twitter. That's GAnksuou. You can also find me at the same name on MTGO. You can find me once in a while on MTG Bro Deals. I just had the article of Dave Flameswalker posted yesterday, and so a couple days after you guys are actually hearing this, and it's fan fiction, but it's I think it's pretty good. Most people seem to like them better than any of the other ones I do, so.
Sweet. I do want to, also, real quick, can I shout out Bobby B, because I don't know who he is, but on Twitter, I think we were like, we couldn't figure out. But we
gave him one last week for that.
Yeah, I want to
give him another one.
I wanted to give Bobby B another shout out.
I hope he enjoys these. We're not fucking with you, dude. We're just showing love. Don't take us the wrong way, please.
Yeah, I'm just fucking with him.
So let's see. Also, you can get on me at pinimpodcast@gmail.com if you need something a little more long form. And aside from that, yeah, fuck it. That's enough. You can also find me, of course, on the Posse page. I am active on that. And this is the only reason I'm still on Facebook. So that should mean something. Next
same week, here, man. Same. That actually probably is the only reason I check my Facebook on a daily.
You know, it's the only fucking reason I'm on Facebook.
Ever since my mom got on Facebook, I've been exclusive to Twitter for the most part.
Oh, bro, I mean, Twitter's a different story. I'm always on Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, if I get free time, that's the first thing I do is check my Twitter feed so I can fuck with Jeeps. I spent Friday.
I need to get back to Zach's, actually. Remind me.
I was downtown, right, waiting on my old lady. She had, like, that test to take, and we knew it was going to take about an hour, hour and a half. And I'm not one to just sit in there, so, like, I sat out in the car. Drove around, you know, checked out a couple things, went, got some grub, went, got a brew. But the whole time, dude, I was just on Twitter, just harassing Jeeves and Steven Raphael, who has a new podcast coming out. So, yeah, it's going to be Jeeves and, you know, the Scribbler and, Jeeves's brother Sid. So I'm going to give that a listen at least once because Jeeves gets angry and that's hilarious. But I did spend like an hour and a half just fucking with him.
Excellent. Yes.
Well, you got to do that once in a while to him. Good guy though. I mean, he's not as bad as people make him out to be. But next week we have GP in Worcester. In Worcester. How the fuck do you do that? Okay. So in Worcester we have Modern going on, and then we have an SCG event out in Kansas City. So you know they're going to be eating some prime fucking beef out there, brother.
Yep.
But until next week.
Hey, fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Have a good one and go fuck yourself.